Welcome to the Mom and ...... podcast, the podcast that helps you make your ellipses count. You know all the ...... that come after I'm a mom and... And I'm Suzanne Kearns, mom and ... writer, LGBTQ and sex ed advocate. And this week, I am just so excited to be back recording the pod with actual guests, not just me and Missy.
Yes.
It's been a minute. In fact, I counted, I think it's been like 5 months.
I think so too.
So yeah, be gentle with us, Allie. If we're, we'll see how we do.
I'm sure it'll all come right back to us.
I'm sure it will.
Well, I'm Missy Stevens, mom and ... writer, foster child advocate. And this week, I'm a chauffeur again, because that word kind of got garbled. I'm a chauffeur. I can't say it. But my kiddos have been on the same schedule. Yeah, keep it all in. They've been on the same schedule all school year. And now my oldest is done swimming. And so I'm back to driving to all the practices. And yesterday, I lived in the car. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot what this is like. So... back to driving constantly.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's going to be me next year, I think, when I'm a band mom.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be at like 5 a.m. So
boom. Right. It's really early. Yeah.
Oh, well, we are so excited to have a guest back at the pod this week, Allie Perez. Allie is a mom and ... CMO and COO of George Plumbing Co. Inc. and also one of San Antonio Business Journal's 40 Under 40. She started working in the plumbing trade in 2011 and immediately noticed that there was a lack of female representation. And because of her love for the trades, it motivated her to share the benefits of a career there with others. And she founded the organization Texas Women in Trades. And Allie also attended NYU and graduated with a BFA in drama and still pursues her love of acting and voiceover work. And I mean, talk about pivots and making all your ellipses count. I cannot wait to talk about all these things. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies, for having me. I'm so excited to be here with y'all. Obviously, you heard about my acting background, so you know this is my jam. I love this. I'm vibing with y'all. So thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we are so glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you here. And I'm actually mixing a little bit of my work and my podcast work this week, because the week after we release this, March 3rd through 9th, is actually Women in Construction Week. And I was chatting with my Ready to Work client about all the local businesses and organizations in San Antonio, which is the area they serve, about how could we highlight us, you know, in one of our social media posts, the women who are in these historically male-dominated fields. And he's like, oh my God, you need to talk to Allie. And I was like, I know I need to talk to Allie, because the first day I started at Creative Noggin, I was hearing about Allie and all the amazing stuff that she does and singing her praises. And I thought it would be really fascinating to bring her on and talk about a career in the trades, especially plumbing. I should have taken a picture. The thing that I fished out of the drain yesterday, you would be so proud of me. But I didn't know all the other stuff about you. Looking through your resume, holy cow. I mean, there's just layers and layers and many ellipses
after ellipses.
There are so many. So how did an NYU drama student become the founder of Texas Women in Trades? We're going to cover all that today, but can you give us like the 101 version just to kick it off?
We'll keep it short. Yeah, for sure. I got out of college and I was super privileged to be able to attend NYU. It's an incredibly expensive school. It's an amazing opportunity. I had family living in the city, so I wasn't completely alone either, which I loved. But it came time afterwards to start getting to work. And I double majored at NYU because I, you know, an acting degree, you hear it all the time. What are you going to do with that? How are you going to make that work? And I always loved business. Always knew when I was a kid, people would play doctor. I would play business. I knew I was always going to end up running something someday. Right. So I double majored in that, and I minored in math so that I could run a business if I needed or wanted to. So when I came out of school, that's exactly what I started to do. And I got into the marketing trade because it's very similar to acting. You've got your storytelling there, you know, it's a very similar messaging. And through marketing, I found the skilled construction trades. happenstance, total luck of the draw. I ended up working for a great contractor. Yeah. A lot of times people in the industry, particularly women, had family in it some way or somehow.
Right.
Either it's their family business or their husbands. Nope, I had no connection to it at all. And when I told my family that their acting major was going to be doing marketing for plumbing companies and HVAC companies, they were shocked, but not surprised. Right. I'm a very non-traditional person in a very non-traditional occupation. So once I got to the trades, I fell in love. I was shocked that other women didn't know about it. Why didn't I know about it? Why am I just hearing about it? So immediately I went looking for sisterhood, mentorship. I found none in San Antonio, none in Texas. So I started Texas Women in Trades because I didn't want anyone else who wanted to pursue this industry to be alone, to not have an outreach or someone to talk to. So as a marketer, I threw up a website and some socials and kind of put it out there as a very casual thing. And I've been doing it the last 10 plus years, almost 15 years. So it wasn't until recently that we started talking about federal projects, infrastructure dollars, that the conversation started becoming an everyone problem. And we started getting more trend and attention to what I feel I've been screaming into the void for the past 15 years. So I was grateful to already be in the space and to have a lot of information about it. So I serve as a stakeholder to our city, to ready work federal agencies. I help anybody I can to spread this message, and that's what we do with Texas Women in Trades.
Amazing.
So cool.
Right. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about that transition from doing the marketing to actually being a tradesperson. What kind of training went into that? What was going on in your head? Were you preparing for the inevitable questions where people were going to go, explain what you're doing and tell me why you're doing it? What was that journey like?
Yeah, no, it was definitely there. Definitely people are not shy about sharing their opinions, right? So when I was an acting major, it's like, what are you going to do with that? Well, when I wanted to do this, it was, well, women don't do that work. Women don't want to do that work. You don't want to do that, really, do you? And yeah, I do. I really do. So I came into the industry and I now naturally gravitate towards leadership roles, to building teams, to helping teams succeed. And not only do I do that for marketing, but operationally, I'm always insistent that we link marketing and operations together, because we can do the best part of making that phone ring. But how is the phone being answered? How are those customers being treated? It's an entire pipeline or process. So yes. I've always been very involved and interested in the entirety of the process, not just getting the person from the market to our place. Mm-hmm. But what is that experience once they're at their place? Because believe it or not, that's marketing too.
Oh, because
if they don't have a great experience, then they're going to tell everybody. And if they do have a great experience, they're going to tell even fewer people. But it is really, we're in that word of mouth business. So the entire line is very important to me. So when I came on, it was at another employer to do marketing. I shared that concern. And obviously there was a role for me in operations as well. So I've always kind of served that double marketing and operations role to make sure that my marketing dollars are actually coming to fruition and we're providing great customer experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So through that, I found that if I was going to be managing men who do this all the time for a living, I had to know what the heck I was talking about. These guys, they weren't just going to listen to this 5'2" gal who was like, here's how you should run your job and here's what you should do. So I had the support at the time to start pursuing that education so that I could better manage the team. And as someone who likes math and science, I was just captivated by the plumbing science. And it's, people think plumbing and they think, I mean, if they think it at all, you know, sewage, waste, poop. But it's also, more importantly, water. And nobody can live without water. It's pivotal, right? So it's an economy safe industry. We know we're going to be around through the long haul. And we protect the health of the nation. So there is a really strong greater calling there. Plumbers also do continuing education, just like doctors do every year, just like lawyers do, nurses. There's a lot of industries that do continue it. We have to do that too, because we handle water and we handle gas. And lots of different plumbing things that can cause, I mean, contaminated water.
Yes.
Hello, plague. So it's actually pretty serious. So we take it seriously. But that's that, needing to know that I was going to naturally be managing men in this industry, I had to start studying up and beefing up and learning what I could learn so that I could hang and that they would take me seriously and that I wasn't just someone passing by into this industry because I'm just that marketer. So I wanted, not just for them, but also for myself. Like, I wanted to know that I could do it, that I could understand it, that if something happened in my house, I'd be able to handle it. So it started as a non-altruistic pursuit, like helping others. And then I started thinking, yeah, this is helping me too. This is fun and this is great.
And you know what? I got to tell you, and that was one of the reasons I think I was most interested in having you come on, is because I do feel like in another life I was a plumber. I feel like there's no satisfaction like fixing something, like having something be very like right in your face, like it was not working and now it is working and I did that. And I just take so much pride in that. And I was joking, I did that yesterday because we've had this happen before in our house where like our air conditioner, the condensation drips through one of the sinks. So if that sink ever gets clogged, then it starts dripping in this like overflow line outside. And it started doing it yesterday. And I was like, I know why that's doing that. And so like, I knew exactly which sink and what to do and where to go to. And the thing that was broken last time wasn't, but I was like, I bet we need to like clear out that U pipe or whatever that is. And sure enough, it was filled with, my daughter's got some long, beautiful hair, but it was down there. And so I don't know. Those are the projects at home that I just feel like a genius when I figure that out. Cause it is kind of, it's like solving a mystery. Like you got to figure out like what the problem is. And then you actually got to do the work to solve it. And then you have like this happy end once you do. And I just think that's amazing. But like that is a very simple fix. I'm not fixing gas lines and stuff. What type of training?
When you need a plumber.
Yeah. That's what, like, how long is that training? If someone's like, that really does sound like an interesting field, what does that look like? Is it years? Is it months? Is it forever? Like, what does that look like?
That's a great question. So a lot of times, because the construction industry isn't like other industries where you go and get an office job and you know what to expect for the most part, construction is odd hours, crazy climates, different environments. We could be in a 150-degree attic. We could be under a house fixing frozen pipes. So there are pre-apprenticeship and pre-apprenticeship to kind of filter people out, to pre-qualify, if you will, to see if this is even something that they want to do before they commit to a four-year apprenticeship program or plan. Right. So you kind of had two methods. You have the union method and you have a non-union method. And both are great methods, really wonderful, valid options. And I support both union and non-union methods. So typically what it looks like, whichever pathway you go down, is it's about 4 years. And that 4 years is the hours that are required. So they require 8,000 hours of on-the-job work. Now, some programs, like the one I went through, is a DOL-sponsored apprenticeship program. So in conjunction to the 8,000 hours that we get working day-to-day, Monday through Friday, 8 to 6, we also go to school 2 nights a week for 3 hours a night for 4 years to learn the practical and the physical science of it all so that you are better prepared to pass your plumbing test. Now, a lot of plumbers didn't love school. And so they're not into like sitting down and studying. That's not something that they necessarily want to do. So breaking the schooling up into those little modules is incredibly helpful. And it also better prepares them to pass their test because a lot of it is math. And I know when I went through my first year, as we know, I'm a math dork, right? I went through and I was shocked at these grown men, poor guys who just hated math in school and never had anyone sit down and take the time to work through it with them. And so I asked my teacher for a day. I said, can I have a 3-hour day where we can just do math and make it fun? And he said, good luck. So I did a little pre-course on math. Yeah. So that way they understand fraction work, reading measuring tape, you know, all of the important parts of your job that no one really took the time to understand why they didn't understand. So there's that school component that's crucial. But you also have the 8,000 hours that you're getting with your employer. So you're working a regular job, making money every day, lots and lots of money that you're making over these 4 years, like a regular job, and your employer is helping you with school. So either the employer will pay for it. Sometimes the employers will ask the student to pay for it. In our instance at George Plumbing, we have never paid for anyone. We have scholarships. We help the guys get scholarships so that they can fund their own schooling. And they love that. They're so proud of themselves. So it's typically a 4-year plan. The most successful couple that with some sort of schooling or training in addition to the on the job. But for this industry, you need both. You need the hand-on tools time, and you need to understand what's the best way to roughen this house, right? What is the most economical way to build this for them? So there's a lot of different components that overlap. So it's best programs have both of those in them.
I'm just fascinated. Okay. And just actually, I probably should have started with this. Maybe I'll even re-edit it to the beginning. So when we talk about the trades, what careers are typically included in that bucket?
Really good question. So it's trades, it's skilled trades, it's construction trades, it's skilled construction trade. Google has a great time with all of these keywords, but it's all basically the same industry. And so you're looking at people who typically work with hands, work with their tools, and need to be trained to do so because they're working with water, they're working with gas, or working on high rises, right? There's a safety component there. So some examples of that, obviously I'm partial to plumbing, plumbing and pipe fitters, boiler makers, all of that is within the same realm. You've got HVAC, heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and refrigeration is also coupled with that. You have carpentry. Carpentry is one of our oldest trades. Jesus was a carpenter millennia ago. So there's something about that model that works, that apprenticeship model. Jesus was an apprentice carpenter. And let's see, what else do we have? We have sheet metal workers. People are like, what's a sheet metal worker? You love all that great AC in the summer when you go to the movies or you go somewhere public. Yeah. They are the ones who are crafting those giant ducts, the ductwork for it. You have masonry, people who work with brick masons. You have electricians, or what we call them, sparky, people who work with electricity, also very dangerous. So there's a bevy of different opportunities and different skilled trades that are available. Welding is another common one. We have information on our website, and I can give you that too. We have like a list of all the different construction trades and a link to a quiz to see like, hey, what might my trade be? What might I be kind of good at? So I'll make sure y'all get that info so you can share it.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Are you seeing like a big jump in people with an interest in going into the trades? Is it increasing? I feel like I'm hearing about it more as a viable option post high school, but I don't know if that's translating to you seeing more people coming into this.
Yeah, especially with like the world of AI. Like, talk about careers that require you to be a human and to have the skills of a human.
A robot's never going to do our job. That's for sure. It takes a certain level of problem solving and skill that would take a very long time for them to program AI to be able to accomplish or comprehend. I don't really know how to answer that as far as, is there more? I can speak from my perspective. There has been a slight increase in interest. Mostly where I'm seeing interest is from the workforce development arena. From people and from cities, municipalities, states who are receiving federal dollars for federal projects and are concerned that they don't have the workforce to fuel these projects. Right. That would be the biggest area of concern. I would love for people to be knocking down my door saying, I'm interested in a trade, help me, help me, help me. But unfortunately, we're not there yet. But I do think some of this language, some of this, we struggle with the skilled trades gap is a marketing problem. We do a really bad job of sharing the benefits of these trades. What are trades? You know, what, how much you can make, how you can earn dollars while you're learning. We pay for schooling, we pay for tools. The gender wage gap is one of the smallest in our industry.
Women
are paid, I think, 97 cents to every man's dollar, which is major.
Major, so there's only 3 cents to go.
I got goosebumps at that. That was really
But also, how sad that we're excited that there's only a 3 cent deficit, in perspective, like so disgusting. But like also, I'm excited because that means women like me, like others, can fuel their life, their be moms, you know, be single parents if their need arises, and still be able to support themselves with a livable wage. Like, that's important. And we're making strides there. There are other issues that women struggle with in the construction industry, but we are making strides. And I definitely feel like the biggest interest has peaked around these federal dollars, these infrastructure dollars, and those conversations.
Yeah.
So I'm here for it.
That's all. Okay. So I love the fact that there's the wage gap is not significant. I'm guessing the actual presence of women in the workforce, there's a gap there as far as the community. And I love that your organization helps build that community, even though they may not be on their day-to-day workforce. Are you still seeing that? Are there still challenges for women who are feeling like they are surrounded by men? Or is it kind of also an individual job where you are kind of a one person? If you're going into someone's home, for example, if that's the plumbing that you are doing, what are you seeing there?
It can be. And typically there are two people on the job. There's that journeyman person or master person, and then there's that apprentice, because they're constantly in learning. They're constantly getting those hours. So for the most part, in residential, I can speak to, they're not typically alone or by themselves. And every kind of job is different. So on a construction job site in an industrial space, you're building a high rise. You may be the only person on that floor, let alone the only woman, right, who's working on it. So our industry is so vast, it's hard to like create like even similarities between the different types of jobs that even I just illustrated right now.
Right.
I will say that a part that I struggled with and that a lot of tradeswomen organizations across the country struggle with is the recruitment portion. We love doing that. We love bringing more people in. That retention component, keeping these women in, is a struggle. And if we were to focus solely on recruitment, to me, that would be unethical, because we also have to improve the situation for the women on these job sites. Now, I'm not saying that everything is terrible or everything's bad, but almost every single female in the industry has experienced some form of sexual harassment, discrimination, job safety. There have been individuals who have been actually killed by coworkers on their construction job sites. I think of Udi Hicks out in California. So there are lots of great benefits. There are also some challenges. And I think the more that we talk about it and the more women who are brave and bold enough to go into these industries, we're changing that narrative. We're showing that we are hard workers, that we actually have to work harder than a lot of other people. Because if we fail, all women fail. It's not just Allie can't do this job. It's women can't do this work. So there's a lot of pressure on us to perform. I like pressure, but it might not be for everybody. So there are definitely some retention challenges, and I struggle too much with recruitment. In all of the recruitment efforts I do, I speak to this. I speak to the fact that, you know, it sounds great, but nothing is ever perfect. And there is that component in it that takes a certain constitution and a certain lady to say, you know what, I want to do this no matter what. And I don't care who the heck gets in my way.
Yeah. And I mean, that retention piece also is, you know, once they get to be in that leadership role and they are mentoring and they are training men, then just all those plumbers underneath them are seeing women as someone to respect and in a position of leadership in that role. So it's just, it has so many downstream benefits if they can stick with it and get to those points of leadership.
Yeah. I think that if I hired a plumber and a woman showed up, I'd be so thrilled. But I wonder if it is the opposite case when some men see a woman show up. Have you found with clients that you have to do some education there and say, a plumber is a plumber is a plumber and I can do this job?
Now, typically, I haven't experienced any, but I typically rarely go out and do service calls. I do ride-alongs with the guys, and anytime they see a female, they are just so stoked. They're just really happy. They've got lots of questions for me. You know, they want to know what I'm doing there, how I got there, you know, what I like about it. So I've had positive experiences. I know that's not always the case. The same thing happens with ageism. We have a few younger plumbers. We've got a guy who's been working for us for 15 years, but he isn't even 40 yet. And he looks that he like he's not over 40 yet. Yeah. And sometimes he even has challenges going to a job thinking, are you experienced? Are you going to be, I want one of those old timers, you know,
one
of those guys who, you know, getting out of here. So there's you're coming into someone's home, so there's always those discriminational kinds of challenges. So I will say that I haven't personally experienced them, but I know they're out there. I'm sure they're out there. And sometimes when I answer the phone, I'll advise people over the phone, and they're like, I'd rather, I don't know about that. So I'll put them on hold, and I'll get one of our guide plumbers, and I'll say, hey, and he'll say exactly the same thing that I said. Exactly the same thing. But it just hits a little different coming from a baritone, I guess. Maybe
that's when you should pull out some of that voiceover work and just kind of work.
You'd be like, hold on one moment, and then just come back on the phone.
This is Ali's manager.
See, I can just blend all of those talents into one thing. Oh my gosh. Okay. So we have a lot of moms that listen to the podcast, and we try to give them ideas to explore for different careers, especially stay-at-home moms who are looking at going back to work. Is plumbing or any of the trades, how do you see that fitting into trying to also manage childcare, depending on what your home situation is and your childcare situation? Is that mom friendly, or is it got some area for improvement there?
I think the workforce in general isn't highly supportive of people with children, male or female. I think it's not just childcare, it's care services in general, elder care. I know among the Hispanic community, which I'm a part of, you know, we tend to really care for our elders and try to keep them home with us as long as possible. So a lot of times, not just women, but a lot of times women too, are experiencing needing to not just care for children, but also disabled family members, older family members. So care services in general, I think, is a challenge. There are programs across the city that are trying to help with that. So for example, for stay-at-home moms who might be thinking, hey, I'm ready to get back out into the workforce, there are a few industries that those moms may go try to be a part of, and the child care costs outweigh her even going to work. Mm-hmm. And that's not uncommon. And that's part of why we're struggling with people in the workforce, particularly women, because there's just not the cost benefit to actually go and pursue work versus having to pay and compensate for all of that childcare. So I'm a mom. I have a beautiful 9-year-old daughter that I'll talk about a lot. And if I talk about her too much, I'll cry because I just adore her. And she's just real sweet. And I was very lucky that I had her father's family who was able to take care of her. That's not always the case. That's not always something that people have. It was actually very difficult for me because I became pregnant during my training program and the school, I didn't have childcare opportunities and I just had a baby. I wanted to be with the baby. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in general, I think all industries are struggling with this. I think workforce in general is struggling with childcare. But to speak specifically about construction trades, we acknowledge that it's a challenge and we're starting to solve it. So some unions are providing on-site childcare for certain projects through Ready to Work. It's a wonderful program. If you are eligible, there is an income cutoff for that. So you would have to be eligible. But they offer childcare service vouchers and try to help you solve that challenge so that you can get to work. They also assist with other problems that are preventing people from going to work, like transportation. You know, transportation, vouchers, emergency services. I ran into a gal who is just awesome and she just can't afford the $30 it takes to get her driver's license. So there are a number of other different obstacles as well. I've been lucky. My employer is flexible to family, mostly as a family-owned and operated business. I'm very lucky there. I think communication is key in those conversations, knowing what you can do. Is helpful for employers too, to be able to go in up front and say, hey, look, I would love this position. I think I'd be ready for it, but I got to be gone by 3 every day because I've got to pick up a kiddo. I think just being as transparent as you can up front is really impactful. But we have a lot of federal dollars. We have a lot of federal projects, and those projects have female standards. There needs to be 6.9% female representation on those jobs. So people are going to have to start getting flexible with time and people time and childcare and resources, because we need the workers. So now we have to start helping to solve their problems and not just assume that they're able to solve all of their own, because there's infrastructure issues in our city that one single mom cannot solve. So there need to be resources there for her.
Yeah, I think overall, we're not going to really progress as a country or as a community if we can't address the fact that people are not just workers. We're not AI. We're not robots. You can't be able to work, like, expected to work like you don't have a family. What's that thing? I keep seeing it. Like, you're expected to work like you don't have a family. And you're also especially supposed to parent like you don't have a job. We can't do either of those things. We're putting too much on people. So I think it's interesting to look at, from a skilled trade perspective, what your industry is doing to address this, and then how can that carry over into other industries as well. Yeah. Pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it's like systemic.
Yeah, it's systemic.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I feel like I have learned so much. I kind of thought I knew what to expect talking about this, but I did not. You're such a wealth of information. I love all this. But since the thing that originated this conversation with you was trying to get some information to celebrate Women in Construction Week, so I'm just trying to think along that line as we are, you know, celebrating and honoring the women who are in construction. Like, what are some businesses or some women or some people in the San Antonio area that you want to highlight, or just a general message that you want to give to all the women out there in construction, what you hope for their futures, anything that you would want to say that helps mark that celebration and honoring the women this week?
I love that. I give all the love and light to tradeswomen, moms, just all across the world, specifically in San Antonio. I think we're, for the most part, lucky as a city. We've got a great city and good resources, and it's a lovely place to raise your children, right? So I think we're very lucky to be here. Speaking about Women in Construction Week, it's a super important week. Last year, NAWIC, which is the National Association of Women in Construction, and is a more professionally geared organization for women who work in this industry. Last year was their 25th anniversary of celebrating Women in Construction Week. So what's great about that is there's a lot of media attention around it. And I love that. So we try to plan events and programs in conjunction with those bigger days where there is going to be more attention on the women in this industry. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we celebrate them by having a banner parade and rally in downtown San Antonio at Main Plaza. We're doing our second annual this year. We're so excited. Partnering with Ready to Work, partnering with local contractors, Project Quest. We have, I think, Turner Construction will be showing up and showing out. So we've got quite a lot of information there. We have activities for kids. We put power tools in kids' hands at the event, so don't get scared. It's fine. It's super bad. It's insane. But we're gonna put those drills in those girls' hands, because if they can start getting that experience young, it's really going to be impactful for them. And we work with Girl with Grit, who's a wonderful board member and partner of ours. And we work together to kind of, like, she handled more of like the girls and the young women, whereas we can take them from high school on. And really, we're looking at that entire pipeline and trying to really craft our services around that. So Women in Construction Week parade and rally is going to be awesome. You'll hear me. I have a megaphone and I'm screaming into it all day. It's from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We have info and fun stuff to do between 9 a.m. and noon. And about noon, 12:30, we start with our rally. So we'll have local tradeswomen, male allies, anybody who really wants to get up and say something about the industry and what we love about it, and just kind of like a call to action. And then we take all of our banners and we walk around Main Plaza with them, and we're screaming and yelling and having a good time. And the goal is to try to, one, celebrate women in construction. We're few and far between. So when we find each other, we like to be together, but then also to make awareness, like, what are these crazy screaming ladies doing?
I love it.
Now it's like fun. What's that about?
What was the date of that again?
That's going to be Saturday, March 9th. Okay. We do have an event on Eventbrite, and I can give you our webpage so you can share that.
Yes.
You don't have to. You don't have to have a ticket. Just show up. It's a Main Plaza. There's plenty of space. We're not going to have too many people. We're not going to turn you away. But at least come check it out. If you know someone, or even somebody that you might be thinking about, come on down. Like, it's a casual, no commitment. Ready to Work will be there. So if you are eligible and do want to apply and work with them on getting training and a coach and access to dollars to help you get started in a career like this, they're going to be there to talk to you. But again, it's like a no pressure, fun kind of a thing where we just get loud and enjoy what we do and share that with others.
Terrific. Okay, we're going to share all of that in the show notes, and we'll make sure that this is published in plenty of time for people to hear it and be able to know that they can come and join in the fun. That does sound like a blast. Oh my
gosh. Come down.
I know. I'm thinking I need a little road trip. And we'll also include in the show notes all the links to Texas Women in Trades, as well as George Plumbing Co. Inc. Before we jump into our Look, Listen, Learns, I did want to take a minute and still do a little shout out about your voiceover work and acting career, because we do like to celebrate all the ellipses of moms and all the things that they do. So I have no idea what that involves, and we could probably have a whole separate call just around
I know
as a career.
A little bit, because I took those classes. I took a couple classes and found out it's not for me. I'm not good at it. So I love meeting people who are good at it and are making a go of it. Yeah, I want to hear about it.
What's involved in that?
Oh, man. I mean, I have an agent that I work with very passively. Obviously, I'm really busy, so I do still like to try to do that. Before my daughter was born, I did a lot of local professional theater. I never did theater where I didn't get paid for it. I spent a lot of money on that education, so I like to need a little ROI. But I did some local professional theater, and I just love being on stage. I just love performing and acting. But then I had my daughter, so I she wants to be with me right now. There'll come a time when she doesn't want to hang out with me. I know. And in that time, acting will still be there for me. So I'm looking forward to going back to my stage career when she dismissed me and on with her own life. But in the interim, what I found was helpful to kind of work that muscle is voiceover work. So I've got an agent and they'll send me everything from anime and cartoons all the way up to announcer, professional sounding. So, you know, I specialize at NYU in this voice and diction. You wouldn't believe it, but I used to kind of talk a little bit like this and it took me quite a long time to get that out of my system. Wow. And so it was a lot of work, but I knew it was something I always wanted to do because I have a unique voice. So mm-hmm. I made sure, like at school, to work on accents and dialects so I can do accents and dialects from all over the world, not let alone the country. So I built up my skill set because voiceover is a very tough industry to break into. There's a handful of people who do all the work and they mm-hmm. want to not only hear that you've got it, but they want to see that you've had that training. So they want to know that you studied in that program and came out with whatever skills you've got. So I do passive voiceover work. I've done a couple of commercials. I am in my closet sometimes auditioning as these random creatures and characters. But it's fun. I love it. You know, you get paid well when you actually land something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard to land something and kind of break into that realm. So it's something I do passively, but something I'm not willing to give up completely. So I'm glad that I'm able to like squeeze it in. But it's cool. Yeah. Sometimes you record in your closet. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you just are recording in your closet. I've got my closet built for it. So sometimes you're doing that. Sometimes you go to a studio. I did a commercial once where I spent 2 hours in the studio and the director was giving me what for. So much so that even the workers afterwards are saying, wow, girl, you hung in there. That was tough. And you think 2 hours of talking, what can be so hard? They want this inflection. They want this emotion. They want to feel mm-hmm. this from you here. And on this line, I want to hear that. And on this word, I want to feel this. So it's a lot of like minute little adjustments and work that takes a lot of time, but it's fun. Silly. Oh,
I love that you are doing it though, even though you're, you know, quote unquote, calling it passive. It's very active in the fact that it is keeping your skills strong mm-hmm. so that when you are, you know, if you do decide to pivot back, that, you know, you've had all this time of keeping that fresh. So I think that's so smart and love that you're doing that.
We are huge advocates of keeping your skills fresh.
Yes.
Y'all are awesome. Like, I'm never going to want to leave. You're so complimentary and kind. I'm having so much fun.
Well, you don't have to leave yet because we're going to do our Look, Listen, Learns.
That's right. It is time for Look, Listen, Learns. And if you're new here, we are so glad you're here and we hope you will come back and listen again. At the end of every show, we spend a few minutes doing our Look, Listen, Learns, and it's just something we might be reading, listening to, watching. Sometimes it's fun and silly. Sometimes it's serious. It's just whatever is going on in your life this week, Look, Listen, Learn wise. And we don't like to put our guest in the hot seat. So, Suzanne, you're up. Tell us what you're look, listening, learning.
Oh, my gosh. I tried to narrow down what I was looking at on TV. We have just been binging so much, so I can't even.
I need a list. We're watching.
I know, especially because it's been a few months. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been watching a lot. But I'm going to actually, the thing I've been looking at most recently are lease contracts. Zoe has, oh my gosh, talk about college housing is, it's like a full contact sport.
Yes.
These kids, I mean, she had one of the early spots to try to secure dorm space and everything was already gone, especially because they had a block. They had four of them that wanted to move in together and that was just impossible. So they have decided to go off campus, which I kind of laugh. It's quote unquote off campus. It's like across the road.
Across the street. Good. That's perfect.
But it's so, and we will see. Apparently, the apartment she's in, people either love it or hate it. RIT in general is built on swampland. And so the kids who are on the first floor, I was like, ask for a second or third floor. Like, there's like mold issues and blah, blah, blah. Talk about they need some women in construction over there fixing that.
Yeah, they need some tradespeople. Stuff.
I know. But it also was so funny as I was looking up the lease last night. It's this organization that's like, they just basically go to all these college campuses around the country and plop down these apartments. They look really fancy and stuff. And I was like, oh, look, it's here in Austin. So I was like looking it up or whatever. It's got like a 1.5-star review. Better Business Bureau is just full of all these complaints. And I'm just like, okay, here I go signing the contract.
Wish I hadn't looked that up.
I really wish. But I was like, ooh, but if they're really bad, I know I've got their address. I'm like within 5 minutes drive, so I could go and give them some love for. But of course, they're probably just a P.O. box. But anyway, I have been looking at that lease contract and I'm going in with full knowledge that I'm probably going to just be really pissed about it for the next year as we're like dealing with mold and unresponsive freezers that don't work and who knows. Or based on the nice thing is with all these parent Facebook groups, mostly everybody who talks about it, they're having a good experience there. So I think it's like anything else. You hear about it when it's going badly.
And
everybody who's happy is not writing the Better Business Bureau about it. So we will see. I've been looking at those contracts. I signed it begrudgingly at like midnight last night. So that's what I'm looking at. I'm listening to The Glass Hotel. Actually, I just finished it for Book Club by Emily St. John Mandel. She's got a long name. And it was very funny because she also wrote Sea of Tranquility and Station 11. And we had just read Sea of Tranquility a few months ago for book club too. And there was one girl in our book club who didn't actually read Glass Hotel, but she brought up the question. She's like, so was it interesting how they brought back that character from Sea of Tranquility? And there's like eight of us in this group and eight of us were like, what? And she's like, the one person who didn't read the book is like tying all
the
these threads
knew.
Together. Yeah. This character that like jumps from one book to the next or like, what? But that got us thinking, we've been in this book club for over 10 years together. That's like over 100 books, certainly, that we've read. And between the eight of us, we were trying to remember the books that we have read. And that was my learn then for the week is that we're a bunch of 50 plus year old women going through, we have menopause brains, and just between us, we could almost remember some books. And it's just, it's fun, you know, talk about women in community and the importance of having these groups together. It's like, sometimes we need each other to have one complete brain. And, and it was very clear as we were having this book club this week together. So that has been my look, listen, learns for the week. How about you, Allie? Do you want Missy to go first?
I'm good. I'm ready.
All right.
I've been watching this show. It's very new and cool. It's called Z-Way. It's about I don't know if you're familiar with Z-Way.
No.
She is brilliant. She plays this character who seems like a super vapid Gen Z, like kind of bimbo almost, but she is incredibly smart. She has, it's kind of a mix of like Saturday Night Live and like an interview talk show. I don't know if you've seen like Between Two Ferns.
Oh, yes.
It kind of has that that level of awkwardness because she goes in for the hard question. But these people see her and she looks like she could be a pop star or, you know, just a pop icon. Very cool. Very, very modern looking gal. And then she zings them with these like Barbara Walters type questions that just make them almost really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But they're really forcing them to kind of answer. So I am just a nerd for awkward. Like I love a cringe moment. I don't know what's wrong with me. Probably because I've had so many throughout my life. I'm just like comfortable with it now.
Yeah.
But
oh
I've really
gosh.
Been enjoying watching Z-Way just, you know, and these people get so scared, these celebrities, about what's Z-Way gonna, how's she gonna grill me, what's gonna happen. So
where is it? Where do you watch it?
On Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus. Okay.
It's on Showtime. I think it's on Showtime through Paramount Plus. You know how those digital things
are all connected.
In some way that's too cool for me to understand. But and I think you can also check her out on YouTube. Like you can just, you know, look up her moments and it's just really funny. I've been enjoying that. Listening. I'm a big reader, but I'm not really big into podcasts or audiobooks. I'm trying to push myself there, but it's not landed. But I've been obsessed with the soundtrack lately and it's totally humiliating, but moms will understand. The Trolls 3 movie came out, Band Together. Confession time. So when I was in high school, boy bands were it. You know what I mean? Insane.
Yes.
Backstreet Boys. I wasn't into any of that. I didn't have a dog in the race, you know? I wasn't really about it. But the nostalgia of going back and hearing all of these songs, it's just the best mix of music that I've heard in a long time. I work out to it, I'm driving to it. So you haven't seen Troll 3, it's family friendly. highly recommend it. And if you're a mom around my age, I'll be 40 in July, you're really going to love the soundtrack. So there's a little gem there. That's what I'm listening
to. Awesome. Oh, okay. You're turning 40 in July. You got the milestone. Look, I love how you just squeezed that 40 under 40 and just in perfect timing. Good job.
Skin in my teeth. Skin in my teeth. It was my last year. It was my last chance.
Oh, Missy, you and I are done. We can't even do 50 under 50. We're done.
I know. We're not even 50 under 50 anymore. Maybe we can make the 60 under 60 list.
I don't know.
Bigger list. I'll nominate you, ladies.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thank you.
And then what am I learning? This has been a lesson for me the past probably years. I'm learning to be better to myself and to prioritize myself. And that is a long progress. And it's not, I've always tried to put my ellipses before myself. And now I'm trying to do and Allie, like and me, you know, and really just prioritizing my health, my wellness, my mental health. Setting boundaries is new for me too. So just really like learning a lot about myself and how to be better to myself. And I think by doing that, I'm going to be better to other people. So I'm hoping.
I'm so excited that you are learning this at almost 40, because it is not easy. And I had to learn it at almost 50, a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it. And boundaries are hard. We talk about it all the time on this show. Boundaries are no joke. Learning to set them and be comfortable with that and be at peace with it is a skill that is going to serve you well forever.
Yes.
And the sweat equity people assume from moms, I think, is kind of, you know, like we're assumed to volunteer our time. We're assumed to do all these things that we do it because we love our kids. But there's just a lot of assumption on our time. And that time has a cost. May not be financial, but it might be at the cost of something else or time not put into something else. So I'm just trying to be mindful of it too, even when I'm engaging with other women, you know, about how do we be better for each other too that way.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot, especially for stay-at-home moms, when you start to not value your time. And so it's very easy then to just slide into over-volunteering, volunteering for things that don't light you up. One of our favorite things to say is say no so someone else can say yes. Because it might be the perfect opportunity for someone else who really wants to take on the responsibility of running that school group or whatever. And if you're taking it begrudgingly, someone who really could have been lit up by that doesn't have the opportunity to do it. So saying no can actually be a good thing. Or at least that's what we tell ourselves so we don't feel guilty.
I think it is a good thing. It's a good thing at least for you.
Like yes.
When you say the no, it frees up space in your brain and your life to do something else.
Exactly. Oh, I love those. Oh, and I could check out that Trolls 3 soundtrack because I've been listening to my Selena Gomez for a really long time. My little mix that I have, so I'm going to mix it up. All right, Missy, what about you? What do you look, listen, learning?
Well, I didn't just finish it, but I finished it while we weren't really recording episodes, and I wanted to talk about Yellow Face by R.F. Kuang. Has anyone read that?
Yes.
Oh, so stressful. As a writer, it is so stressful. Well, I won't spoil anything, but it's about a writer who basically steals someone else's work. And there's a lot more to it than that. And there's a racial component. And it is an incredibly stressful read. You don't really like the protagonist, but you don't really hate her either. Like, it's just, I don't know. I'm recommending it. As I say, it's really stressful. I read and listened to it at the same time, and I found it easier to read than listen to. As I was listening, my chest would just be like,
oh, interesting. I listened to it. So, yeah. That's interesting.
She makes some really questionable decisions all through the book.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, talk about, you were mentioned how you like awkward. It's like worse than the awkward. It's like just super uncomfortable. Like,
you just want to be able to like grab her and be like, what are you doing? and there's this point at the beginning where she could have done one thing and it would have been okay. And she just goes off the rails and nothing is ever okay again. But really well written, and really it's great storytelling. So I highly recommend that. And then I have been listening to Billy Joel. Heard of him? Once again, on the cutting edge of things. But I was gifted tickets for my birthday to see him at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. Kind of a bucket list thing. He says this is his final tour. You know, who knows if it really is.
He'll never stop.
Right. 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 I've seen him before when I was really young and he was much younger. So I would like to see him at Madison Square Garden, both of us significantly older than the last time I saw him. I'm really excited about that. So I've been just playing some of my favorites. And he has a new song. So I've got to learn the new song before April.
Oh, yeah.
What I really love about his concert, because I've only been to one and it was like one of my top three of all time. I mean, he's just so dynamic and such a performer. What I love is how he just like piddles around and asks the crowd, what do you want to hear next? This or that? What do we think? Yeah. You want to hear this?
He just sits down at the piano and noodles it out. Yeah.
So exciting for you. I'm so happy for you. That's going to be awesome.
Thanks. I'm really, really excited about it. So, and then my learning, not as exciting. I'm learning so many things this year that I never wanted to learn and never wanted to know how to do, but I'm learning manual lymph drainage to help my body move fluids. I had one lymph node removed. And so it's the craziest thing. They don't know. So you can have one lymph node removed and have tons of swelling problems. You can have 14 removed, never have a problem. They do not know how to predict it. They don't know who's going to have a problem, who's not. So I've been in physical therapy learning how to manage it should it show up. And I flew last week and had some swelling. So now I know like one of my triggers will probably be flying. I've always been someone who gets a little puffy while flying. I've always worn the sexy compression socks. So I'm now adding a sexy compression tank top and a sleeve to go with my socks.
My so compression socks are thigh highs. So talk about sexy.
Oh, those are sexy.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah,
I'm learning that I'm going to need compression socks.
Oh, these were from pregnancy. I got to wear these around for 18 months of my life.
Yeah, I feel like a can of biscuits on the airplane now. Like everything is compressed. I get off just like.
So how manual is this manual? I'm picturing.
It's real manual. Like I was just on a trip with some college friends and I was like, I'm just going to go to my room and do this because it's easier to do without a shirt on. And it's a lot of like, you're not pushing really hard, but you're literally helping your body move the fluid. You want to move it to the good side, to your unaffected side. And towards your heart. So then your heart can shift this fluid around. And anytime I feel like I'm a little bit swollen or stiff, I'm supposed to do this until, you know, do it every day until I feel better again. And right now I have a physical therapist who does it for me once a week, but I'm almost done with that because I really don't need physical therapy anymore. But today I was like, I just want to come every week and have you do this. Like, it feels so much better when she does it than when I do it.
Oh, yeah.
It feels great. And she does a lot of like today she did some rib manipulation that I'm like, I could not do that myself. And I can breathe so much better this afternoon than I could this morning. So it's a process.
So is it super localized or is it more like a massage or is it like I'm picturing what is it when you do the dogs when their butt nodes get full and you got to go squish the dog
it's
butts?
It's real general, but there's like an opening up process that you do to get. So what does she call this? These are like the terminal lymph nodes that are in her neck. I know this is not a visual medium we're on, but for those of you who are watching on Netflix, YouTube, I'm kind of pointing to above my collarbone. So there's like a divot above your collarbones. Mm-hmm. She opens that up really locally, but then there's a lot of big pressure where you use like just the palm, your whole hand basically, because you don't want to squish down the tubes.
Yeah.
For lack of a better way to describe it, it'd be like taking a straw and squishing it if you pushed really hard. So it's big, open, light movements, getting this fluid. So you do like your underarms because that's where a lot of lymph nodes live. You try to open that up. And then for me, I'm pushing fluid from my right side, which is my not good side, over to the left and to let those lymph nodes do their work. Because eventually your lymph system will create a new path. It'll find that missing one and create a new path. Just some people's paths are better than others. And my path might
like
work great most of the time. What's that? Kind of like a plumber. Yeah, a lymph plumber.
Clearing your drains.
Yeah. So it's been fascinating to learn about it. And they've done these studies where there's just this, you start with deep breathing. It's called diaphragmatic breathing. And they have done studies where they are watching people in a scan. The breathing alone starts the lymph drainage system. Our bodies are really, really interesting and they can
That's
do all
so
kinds of crazy
cool.
things. And just training your brain and your body to redo, you know, do a new process is really, you know, I love that. All
I
that
know
brain
you do.
Connection
I
stuff.
I know you like brain stuff. That's so brain cool. Stuff. Okay.
I never wanted to know it, but now I do know it and I find it really interesting.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, we have kept you over time learning about our internal plumbing. Sorry about that, Allie. But I'm so glad to finally meet. I mean, I've kind of like seen you from afar because I'm always like on the board meeting video calls. So I hear you on those, but I never get to actually chat. So I'm so excited.
I'm vocal. I'm vocal on those. I'm sorry. Good. I try to be productive.
No, I love it. I love it. People move things along and get the system moving. So
I'm so impressed with what you're doing and so glad to know you. And I hope people are listening to this and it's opening up their minds to so many opportunities out there.
Yes. And we're going to share all the links.
Yeah, we'll share everything.
I appreciate the platform, ladies. I can't tell you. I did a little bit of cyber stalking while we were talking about evacuating fluids and things. And I just Facebook friended y'all because I just love this. Your energy is so amazing. Thank you so much. I would like to just leave on a note, which is we've got a lot of moms, right? We've got a lot of moms in the group, in the room, right? We're all moms. And I will tell you that as a mom, I have never seen or experienced anything more disgusting on a job site than I have as a mother.
Right.
Yes. I think that once you have made it through the early stages of motherhood, you can clear any drain, clear anything. That's how I felt.
I had to go
clear out that whatever that U-pipe was yesterday because I thought my husband was going to die. He pulled it off and I was like, do you need me to clean that? He's like, yes, please. So yes, moms out there, nothing is too gross for us to do. If that is the one thing that is holding you from exploring a career in the trades or plumbing, do not, because Allie has seen it all and motherhood.
Kids are gross, man.
Motherhood's gross.
Kids are way grosser.
That's awesome. Oh, well, terrific. Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking time out of your day because, I just wanted a little bit of a quote for our social media, but I'm glad it turned into this discussion because I have learned a lot and I think our listeners will too.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity and the open-mindedness going into the conversation. It's going to take all of us doing a little bit of something. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, take care. You have a great rest of the week.
Bye. Bye. Thank you so much for joining us for the Mom and ... podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's show, and if you know someone else who could benefit from the episode, please be sure and share it with them. And while we're begging, please subscribe and rate us wherever it is you listen to podcasts. You can find links to all the things we discussed today in our show notes or over at our website, momandpodcast.com, with the A-N-D spelled out. In between shows, find us over at the socials, including our private Mom and Community Facebook group. The links to that group and all of our socials can be found at momandpodcast.com. Thank you so much for your support. We appreciate you more than you know. Now go out there and make your ellipses count.